move to, we cannot go to the 3:30 time certain yet, so we'll move into the regular agenda. 915, please.
915, extend subrecipient contract with Metropolitan Public Defenders by $100,000 in recreational cannabis tax funding to support the expungement pilot program to June 30, 2020.
Colleagues, nationally, as many as 100 million, or nearly one-third of the entire United States population, have criminal records. We know that criminal background checks are used by employers, landlords, colleges, and others to make important decisions. This means anyone with a criminal record can potentially face barriers to accessing jobs, housing, educational opportunity, and other important elements. Barriers created by having a criminal record disproportionately impact people of color. In line with this reality, people of color and people in recovery are the two most impacted groups prior to the legalization of cannabis. Since expungement, which is the sealing of criminal records, can reduce the barriers for impacted individuals and families, the City Council directed the Portland Housing Bureau to develop an expungement pilot program in May of 2019. Following this directive, the Portland Housing Bureau has contracted with the Metropolitan Public Defender to run an expungement pilot program. The project is funded through the City General Funds for $50,000. The City Council was able to make a special allocation for expungement services from the Cannabis Recreational Tax Resources. We're going to start by watching a video created by my staff videographer on the life-changing impact that expungement can have. And here comes Adam in person.
Fighting someone, and she had a knife. And I had to
Very good. Thank you. And I believe I'm turning this over to Uma Krishnan at this point from the Portland Housing Bureau. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Uma Krishnan, staff lead for the expungement pilot. And I have here with me Sonia Stephanie. She's the staff lead from MPD. And Andreas Oswald, if you have questions on how the pilot fits in with the larger policy goals of the PHP. So essentially, we are here to answer your question. Questions around the pilot, and if you have any questions around the connections between that pilot, which is ongoing, and its nexus to today's request, which is to request the council to authorize the additional 100,000 funding. So,
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you so much. Metropolitan Public Defenders is who would be getting $100,000. I try not to use acronyms because A, the public doesn't know what we're talking about, and B, it makes it clearer to the public what we're attempting to do. I am curious as to the types of expungements that Metropolitan Public Defenders has done so far with the pilot project dollars. Because again, this fund comes from a marijuana tax. I guess we call it cannabis tax around here because some people get a little freaked out when you call it marijuana. But be that as it may, can you give me some information about just who has had their records expunged, and are there community members that you want to highlight, types of community members who are being helped by these resources?
So I'm going to let Sonia answer your specific question, but I do want to add here that the ongoing pilot, which was just about expungement, with this additional cannabis money, because of the objectives tied to the cannabis, we have added scope that the expungement be provided in locations or agencies which specifically serve people of color and people in recovery, so that the objective of the funding is kept in mind.
Thank you. So for the record, my name is Sonia Good-Stefani, and I'm a staff attorney at the community in the Community Law Division, which is a division within the Metropolitan Public Defender's Office. So with the original general funds, the first $50,000, we held six clinics. The clinics were held at Street Roots, which is an organization, you probably know, they sell the newspapers downtown. We held three clinics at libraries, so we held it at the Midland Library, the Gresham Library, and the Rockwood Library. We held one clinic at Healthy Birth Initiatives, which is a county organization actually designed to provide African American mothers and their families with supportive services during pregnancy and when they have a newborn. And then the last clinic was at Impact Northwest out by their shelter. The general pilot didn't necessarily focus on any specific population besides folks who were in poverty. We have a requirement that you have to be below 80% medium income level in order to participate in the expungement clinic for those. We met with about the contract was designed so that we had to screen at least 100 people, and we screened about 175 with those six clinics. Going forward, again, as Uma said, we are focusing on site locations that will be specific for people of color and women in particular. So we have a clinic actually scheduled for 2 days from now, on Friday, at Project Nurture, which is a center for new moms who have been experiencing addiction. As far as your question goes as to what has been expunged in particular, so we expunge everything that can be expunged under the law. So that includes the expungement statute is specific. It's most Class C felonies and misdemeanors, and everything marijuana-related that the legislature has approved expungement. So anything marijuana-related, except for there are five marijuana, cannabis-related convictions.
Yes, so you did it too.
I know, right? cannabis-related convictions that are ineligible for expungement, so we can't expunge those, but otherwise we expunge everything else. We're really excited because starting in January, there are some new laws that got passed by the legislature that will allow us to expunge cannabis-related convictions outside of the regular expungement statute. So we, as my colleague in the video said, you have to wait a certain amount of time, regardless of what your convictions or arrests were. But the new laws coming into effect will allow us to essentially pluck some of the marijuana convictions out and expunge those convictions.
So I appreciate that explanation, and I just will share my concern. We know that the people that were most impacted by poor cannabis law were African American. And so when we say people of color, it's a very generic term, right? But if we look at based on conviction rates of marijuana across the board, there's no surprise as who's been most impacted. So what would your strategy be to ensure that based on conviction rates that your demographics would reflect your help of the people who have been most impacted by poor cannabis public policy?
I can attempt to answer your question. Our strategy is that the model, the way the pilot works, is to kind of take, for short of a better phrase, it's like taking expungement services on the road. So, and given how we have seen things work in the past, we are hoping to partner with culturally specific organizations. In this case, the African, the agencies that provide specific services to African American population, and we could hold a clinic there. So, I think that's the strength of the pilot. We are planning on holding 8 separate workshops.
Right.
And we will make sure that we can make sure that it serves African American people who have been disproportionately impacted.
Thank you.
Commissioner Dave? I'm going to sound like a total nerd here.
It's okay.
But Commissioner Hardesty brought up a good point. I also referred to it as marijuana when I first got here, and then the term was switched to cannabis, and I didn't understand why. But I now know, and I can share with you, it's the proper term. It's the more accurate term. And the history of the word marijuana is related to the Federal Bureau of Narcotics making it illegal in the 30s and calling it something other than cannabis or hemp, which were commonly understood terms, and may have garnered more opposition if they tried to make cannabis and hemp illegal. And it was also, there was also a racist agenda mostly towards Mexican Americans at that time. So I love to nerd out on words.
Yes, as do I sometimes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But it is awkward, and I still
I will always
mix
call it
the
marijuana,
two.
So, just for public policy purposes, I use the term cannabis, but hey.
As a commissioner in charge of the cannabis office, I grant you that
authority.
Authority,
right?
Yeah. We know what you're talking about.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your work, and I look forward to seeing the results of the additional resources that you've received.
Thank you.
So we're not taking a vote. We're just moving on.
We'll take public testimony, but I want to make sure that are you completed with your presentation? Is there more you'd like to say?
No, we are. Just thank you so much for this additional authorization.
Well, we appreciate your leadership on this. Thank you, and your partnership's very important, obviously.
Before they leave.
I was just going to ask the gentleman if he wanted to introduce himself. I feel like we just brought you up here to look good.
I'm just here to answer questions. My name is Andres Oswell from the Portland Housing Bureau. I think Uma covered everything very well in the time since the Bureau has been allocated funding from the Cannabis Fund. The Housing Bureau has been taking time to recalibrate the program and made some contract amendments that you can see in Exhibit A on how we'll be working with the Office of Civic Life and the Cannabis Grant Fund to make sure we're targeting the outreach and program design to reach the population these funds are intended to serve.
Thank you very much.
Great. Commissioner Daley.
I just want to give what would have been my closing remarks since we have speakers here today. First, I want to thank everyone for the beautiful video and just say that I'm really pleased and supportive of seeing the cannabis tax dollars used towards expungement, which I consider to be one of the most vital services that we can provide. I also want to take a moment to thank our state legislators for the steps they took in the last session to reduce the barriers to expungement. But I'm going to go on record for the umpteenth time, I think, to say that I still don't think it's fair that the burden is on the individual and that the state should adopt an automatic system for record clearing. But that is a conversation for another day. Today, I just want to reaffirm how important it is that we provide pathways for formerly incarcerated people to reintegrate into our communities. I don't understand the punitive attitudes towards people who have paid their dues. And I feel like if people understood that they're not just punishing that individual, but punishing their families, punishing their communities, and ultimately punishing our whole society, because we are doing harm to everyone when we don't support people reentering community. It's especially true in housing, which continues to be a major barrier, even when criminal record is not necessarily an indicator for successful tenancy. The health and safety of our communities depends on our commitment to this work, and I just want to thank you all and thank the mayor for supporting it.
Very good. Public testimony.
No one else signed up.
Very good. Then before we pull away, Adam is our amazing video director, videographer. Thanks, wow. Adam, for your hard work on that. Thanks to all of you for the great partnership, and I'll just say this, I'll say it again when we actually take final vote, that as the Housing Commissioner, I'll make sure that we continue to work diligently on this, that we continue to make the partnership effective. We will report back to the City Council on what the progress is of the expungement pilot and also bring back plans for potential expansion, assuming we like the results that we see out in the community. So thank you for that. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.